joined now by Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you doing, man?
Doing fine. Doing fine.
Well, I don't know where to start. I'm going to start with the 5-1 start in SEC play. I know you go to Florida this weekend. I think you win 5 out of 6 on opening the two opening weekends. That's a good start to SEC play.
Yeah, not bad. We certainly, happy with the outcomes. There's no doubt about that. The series we just had with LSU was. And looking back at it, was more pitching dominated than anything else, which is fine. You'd rather have that than anything else. And we certainly fielded the ball well, too. I think the first night in the rain, Connor Kizer just had one of the best nights I've seen a shortstop have in quite some time. He fielded like 8 balls, was part of 10 different plays. But the range of plays that he was making were difficult. And really, when you look at the nature of the game, if those plays aren't made, then the game flips, but we got a good start by Fellows, and Zach King followed it up in relief and was able to close it out. And then next day we lost. That was the game that was suspended, and we had to come back Sunday morning and then finish that up. That was a 6-2 loss, and then, of course, Sunday was a 7-inning game in which you're probably going to ask me, but the freshman Mason Hickman pitched just extremely well.
Well, and he's a big old kid too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's good size, about 6'5", 6'6", and throws, he throws extremely well in terms of commanding his pitches. He's fastball, breaking ball, changeup guy, but his pace is very quick, and he's right on top of you. So, we saw as an amateur, he's a local kid from Pope John Paul, and We recruited him very early in the process and got to see him after we committed him. And he's always been very loyal and faithful to Vanderbilt, and probably had a bearing on some of the other kids locally that ended up signing. But he certainly pitched a heck of a game.
Well, and the 1-0 win, certainly for that. But I do want to ask you this particular point of managing young men. And when you know a pitcher like that's on a roll, after the second inning, didn't allow a hit, 16 of the final 18 batters went down, 12 in a row at one point. When somebody's in a groove like that, how do you manage that with a pitcher that you know's got it at that moment?
Just kind of let him go a little bit. I think there's three components to that. And the first one is certainly Hickman, the pitcher, because when you're going like that, the pace is so rampant that he's just getting on the mound, he's getting the ball, and had the pace been broken, you don't know if that sets him off or not, but it never was, because he was filling up the strike zone, and he was either striking him out, putting the ball in play. The other thing is the catcher. And I think sometimes when we look at the pitcher, the catcher has a lot to do with pace in terms of getting the sign quickly to the pitcher so that the pitcher can stay in rhythm. Then when he catches the ball, getting it right back to him. So I thought Steven Scott did a good job there. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our pitching coach, because he's very good at what he does. He's a good pitch caller. And his ability to call the pitches quick and just stay in rhythm with Mason to call the pitch that Mason can execute was right on point, too. So a lot of key components in what's happening right there.
Obviously, your pitching coach, Scott Brown, 6th season already with you. That's a pretty nice little run right there.
It is. He was 10 seasons at St. John's before we got him in that November of 2012, when Derek Johnson ended up leaving, going with the Cubs. And DJ, of course, as you know, is pitching coach of the Milwaukee Brewers, and certainly proud of him. And he did a heck of a job with that staff. And we feel like we've got another good one. Well, we do. We've got the best in Scott Brown.
Hey, and Big Joe, I'm going to let him talk here in a minute.
Finally.
I'm going to give you a quiz, Joe, okay? The last 5 seasons, which pitching staff has struck out the most batters? The last 5 seasons.
I'm going to say the Milwaukee Brewers.
No, in college.
I'm going to say the Vanderbilt Commodores.
The Vanderbilt Commodores. And I just saw that, Tim. How did I miss that?
Well, I don't know. We've been fortunate that way to – put up that many outs with doing it on the mound. I don't know.
Coach, on Sunday, the seven-inning game, do you approach that any differently knowing that it's seven innings?
A little bit in terms of maybe moving the offense. Now, we did it in the first inning right away because, you know, it's more of a sprint. And I think you could do something differently pitching-wise, too. You might bring in your closer in the fifth, but in our case, Mason ran the game out. But we tried to accelerate our offense in the very first inning, ran two hit and runs, I should say, in the first inning. And we scored on a wild pitch, but their kid Hilliard, Mikhail Hilliard, who's a freshman as well, was just as effective as Mason Hickman. They just had the blip in the first inning when we got to third base and there was a little bit of a misfire. Catcher deflected the ball behind him, and then next thing you know, we scored. So we were fortunate because we did not touch him after that. We had an opportunity to, with guys in scoring position, less than two, we just didn't score. But I think really more than anything, Joe, is if you can make something happen quick, you would like to.
I think when people saw the box score Sunday night and you guys won 1-0 and didn't see the game, they're thinking, boy, that was exciting. But I'm going to tell you, Coach, I watched every inning on Sunday. That was an amazing baseball game because of the pitchers.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you look at it, and certainly good to win it and because you can feel better about it in that way, but it was those two kids pitched really, really well. They threw a lot of strikes. Their moxie and their mannerisms were not freshman-like at all. I just thought Hickman, he looks like an old soul, and Hilliard, same thing. I mean, you know, that breaking ball is really, really good. We haven't seen a breaking ball like that, and to think that those two kids are potentially the front end of their staffs and freshmen, pretty impressive.
With Florida this weekend, we know how good they are and everything. When you look at the Florida Gator team, it's not much different than what you saw last year and the year before and the year before that, is it?
A lot of returners, a lot of strength. When J.J. Schwartz was freshman of the year, so I can't wait till he gets out of the league. His junior year, and now he's a senior, and he's still in the league. So it just goes to show you, if you have a subpar junior year, how you can come back and finish your degree and continue playing and play very well. And certainly Schwartz is that. But they've got a lot of weapons. I think a little bit different than some Florida teams. Sully's been known to run a little bit more, and they still will because they've got plenty of athleticism or bunt a little bit more. But this lineup looks strong, just from afar. It's very strong 1-9. So you're looking at guys that sit in 7, 8, and 9 hole that could hit in the top of the order for really anyone. So it's a very strong lineup and the best pitching staff in the country that we're going to see, I would imagine, based on Singer and Kowar and Byrne. And they're just very good at what they do. So it's going to be a very, very tough challenge.
Well, and Kevin O'Sullivan, obviously it's been, well delineated your relationship with him, and now with he's got a ring too, right?
Yeah, it was good to see. I mean, last year they beat LSU, and he's such a good coach. His mind and how he teaches and how he gets along with kids and how he grows them and how they grow under him. It's just been fun to watch, and spent 6 years with him, so know him very well, and learned a lot from him too. And that was a great relationship, and still is. And he's very close with my wife and girls, so we think a lot of him. And he's always been, our teams play each other well. It's a very competitive environment, so this again will be a fun environment.
Will you get together with him away from baseball this weekend, or is it just all business?
It's usually all business. Yeah. I mean, it's uncomfortable, but I think if you asked him, he'd probably say the same thing I would. The kids play the game, but it's difficult to play against your buddy. You got to put those things aside and you play, but at the end of the game, someone's got to win, someone's got to lose, and that part's fine. I'm glad we're getting it out of the way early. If we're going to play each other, I'd rather do it you know, at the end of the year. But that'd be difficult too. But same time, yeah, it's not easy, but we get through it.
Well, of course, we have all three games tomorrow at 5:30. Early starts all the way through Saturday. These are central times, and with the pregames 15 minutes earlier with Joe Fisher on the call. Friday, 5:30. Saturday, 11 o'clock. That game's also on ESPNU. Sunday at 11 a.m. Central, and that one's on the SEC Network. And, of course, all three games right here on National Sports Radio.
How's the weather looking the next 3 days?
I think good. You know, I see 80s, and I see some thunderstorms on Friday, but when it's somewhere else, I tend not to look at the weather because someone else has to handle it. When you're at home, it's really kind of all you think about sometimes, even though we got turf. We had to manage that last weekend, but I think it's going to be pretty good for the weekend, so we'll be excited about that. Just it could do away with the gray skies and the rain because we've seen enough of that here in the last 4 weeks.
If Mason Hickman keeps dominating the way he does, could you see a thing halfway through the season where you move him up in the rotation to maybe a Saturday, maybe a Friday, just because he's doing so well?
Not sure. I think, you know, your rotation is, you'd like to get it at a point where it becomes pretty consistent so everyone knows what they're doing from a training standpoint, because that, those days in between are important leading up to a start. But, you know, day adjustments aren't much of a big deal. And, yeah, I guess that could happen. I think ultimately what you want to do, Joe, is line your guys up. I think about it in tennis sometimes, you know, how tennis has that ladder system where, you know, they'll play, maybe they'll put a 2 down to a 4 because they think that that's a better opportunity to win that specific match. And I think baseball in some regards is close to that. And the fact that you just want to line your kids up as best you possibly can in hopes of giving yourself a chance to win a series. But right now, it's, you know, it's worked. It's, I know it's only two weekend deep SEC, but, you know, Fellows has been fine, and Raby will be fine. And, you know, Hickman's pitched well in that one stint. So we'll just see what happens going forward.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin with us this morning, every Thursday morning in this time slot, as a matter of fact. Tim, we've gone, I think, 10, 11, 12 minutes in this interview. I guess you got to be proud of us. We hadn't asked about the midweek games yet. So three.
Thank you for your time, guys. We'll see you. We'll talk to you next week.
You know, and first off, you know, and you know, Lipscomb, for example, you know, Jeff Forehand, son of a baseball coach, coaching legend, Fred Forehand, and just a fine baseball man. We know that. I told this to Joe, you know, yesterday when we were doing the show. This is my approach. Each one of these teams, two OVC teams, one Atlantic Sun team, are basically from a one-bid league. And you've got to win the tournament to go to the NCAA regional, okay? I would throw everything when I played Vanderbilt in that midweek game, even up to the point of maybe moving my weekend rotation back a little bit because of how important it is to those teams. And again, it's, you know, is it going to affect them or not? Because they've got to win their, most likely, win their conference tournament to go. So that would be my approach. I don't know what you're doing, but you know you're going to get everybody's best shot now, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, we know that, and the kids know that certainly, too. I mean, they're disappointed they get back on the bus Tuesday night and to not play as well. But, you know, when you don't play as well, the opponent has a lot to do with it. And as you mentioned, they threw a closer at us. And Kemp, he throws the ball extremely well. I mean, he's got a good arm. Now, in saying that, he gave us some opportunities. He walked three guys in the first inning. We don't come up with a run. He leads off the game by walking the first two guys. We ground out into a double play. And unfortunately, not that one particular bat sets the tone, because I don't want to – that's not the truth. But in some ways, it did in that case. And he walked the next guy after that. Then we struck out. So we essentially broke down an inning. And it was – basically that way from inning one to inning nine. We didn't get off many swings. We walked nine times. We got hit once. They balked three bases for us, and we stole three bases. So you think, okay, 16 three bases, you should be able to come up with a couple of runs, and we came up with one run. So it's kind of a dead night. We just didn't have a lot of opportunities. But what I thought Lipscomb did really well is they sped us up and slowed us down. They went Kemp, to start off with, who very hard. Then they went to a kid named Dorso, I was throwing a 60-mile-an-hour curveball and an 80-mile-an-hour fastball. Then they went back to fast again with a kid named Ortega who was throwing 92, 93 miles an hour. And then they went back to slow with their closer and slowed the ball back down. So we could never really get in any rhythm. And I give Jeff and his staff a lot of credit for that because that really was the difference. And a big hit. They tripled with the bases loaded, and that was really the difference in the ball game.
Florida this weekend, and we look forward to it. I mean, again, it's every weekend in the SEC. And let me ask you this, though. How, you know, you get up for those big, huge weekend series, obviously, with LSU, now Florida. As a coach, do you have to do a little extra for these midweek games to get their attention? Because just human nature would say what the week, how big the weekend games are.
Yeah, I think my thought on this, you know, after doing this for a while, the conference games zap a lot of emotion out of the kids. And then the midweek games then become a challenge because the other side is, you know, they get up for you. There's no doubt about it. And the ability to dial it up and stay connected to the game is tough. It's a tough balance of positive emotion necessary to match the other side and being addicted to it. And it just becomes difficult. It does. And you're playing good teams. You know, you're playing good teams that can break you down at any moment. And they did. So, but those games are important now. You're talking about your hosting opportunities and getting a chance to play in your own park, which is very important to go into Omaha. Then you've got to win the week, essentially. You got to play well in the conference. You got to win the midweeks. And so far, we haven't won a lot of midweeks. But that's behind us now, and now we've got a very good opponent in front of us. And we'll just get the guys moving forward and get into this one and hopefully play well down there in Gainesville.
Well, good luck this weekend. Again, all three games right here, we'll be listening. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I always appreciate you guys. Thank you.